This is Fantasy Book Club.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Book Club. This is the Internet's Book Club, and just by listening, you're a member. My name is Cindy Augustine Lyerly.
And my name is Colton David Pratt.
And this week.
That was a terrible attempt at being you.
And this week, we read chapters 44, 45, 46, 47, 48,
sound like
and
that.
49. I do not sound like that.
Also, I'm not Trilides.
I forgot about freaking Trilides.
That was your Trilides voice.
Yes, it was. That was so long ago. Wow.
Shout out to when we read Warbreaker. If you haven't listened to it, go find out who Trilides is. And also what his voice sounded like. You can just hear it.
And also the one joke I did at the end of every episode from that moment forward.
Oh, man.
That was back when we did every character every time for Rank Those Characters.
Yeah, back before there were a bajillion characters.
Even then, there were quite a few.
Yeah.
This is a
better system.
Yes, this is a call to action. Listener right now, go leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you feel like, because there's still a review on there. Somebody left where they just hated me in the way that I did the rank the characters. And so if you want to go and just like pump those numbers, I would not mind that. But one of the reasons we changed was because this dude brought to our attention how much he hated the rank the character section of our show.
He also hated you because
he found me annoying.
Made fun of boomers.
Oh, I did. Oh, goodness. Anyway, we'll move on. This week, like I said, we read 44 through 49.
Hey, wait a minute. That's my job.
Well, what are we reading next week?
Oh, okay. Next week, we're reading 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, and 56.
So in short?
50 through 56. Okay. I don't know why I was talking like that.
Yee-haw! 50 through 56. Let's go.
It's just as I was going, 50 started sounding more and more like country. And so I was like, we're just going to commit to this.
You know,
this is how I speak now.
Or like words stop sounding like words. That's kind of what happened with 50 right then for me. You saying
50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56.
I will say next week, chapter 56 is my favorite, single favorite chapter in this entire book. So I'm excited for next week to get there.
Whoa.
It's a good one. So be ready. Looking forward to it.
Whoa. This is going to be a weird episode, I think.
Our energy is high and mighty today.
It is 7:45 at night. On a random Tuesday, and we have it's a Wednesday.
Yes.
And we have a midterm due tomorrow that we don't want to write.
So here it goes. You ready?
Yep.
Chapter 44. It's called One Form of Justice.
What?
And here's the book bit from Words of Radiance.
Book bit.
It says, but as for the bondsmiths, they had members only three, which number was not uncommon for them, nor did they seek to increase this by great bounds. For during the times of Madassa, only one of their order was in continual accompaniment of Urethiru and its thrones. Their spread was understood to be specific and to persuade them to grow to the magnitude of the other orders was seen as sedacious. From Words of Radiance, chapter 16, page 14. So, that was nonsense.
I agree.
Moving on. Nonsense.
I have no thoughts about that because it was nonsense. About bondsmiths and spren.
Here's the thing, Sydney. I genuinely believe a bonus episode after we finish this entire series of just reading all of the like pre-chapter bits throughout the five books would be
That'd
neat.
That'd be cool.
Because we're able to actually piece together what actually is happening.
That'd be cool. I agree.
Anyway, this is a Kaladin chapter.
It sure is.
It's talking about him being on the Light Eyes training grounds. He feels really out of place, but he's being trained by Zile. Or Zahale. I don't remember.
Zahale.
And Zahale's actually off training Renarin right now, but he's like helping train Kaladin and all of them.
Yeah.
And at first, the first thing he does, which is kind of interesting, is he lets them hold a shard blade, which they're not supposed to be allowed to do because they're dark eyes. But it was Zahale's thing was if you're going to be fighting people with sharp blades, you better know how they work and the stances that they're in so you know how to counter them.
Oh, for sure.
You won't be able to keep a sharp blade.
Yeah.
But knowing how they feel to swing, knowing the stances that the guy will be in, knowing all this stuff will be helpful for you in order to counter it. So we're teaching you how to use one.
Yep.
That's interesting, but that caused a lot of issues for them. The Ardents were really against it, but, you know, the king approved and Zahale was doing
it. Well, the Ardents can suck it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the king approved, actually. I think Dalinar approved.
The king.
Yeah, essentially the king.
The real king. Our king. Dalinar is king. The king.
Dalinar! Woohoo! Actually, of the backstories we've seen so far, like, you know, the flashback things?
Yeah.
I think Dalinar's flashbacks are the most interesting of any of them. So,
really?
Yes. So I'm excited for you to see those ones.
I'm also excited. I had a moment of, whose other backstory did we see? But it was Kaladin.
We saw Kaladin first.
I just had a moment of, I was like, who did we see before Shallan?
Yeah. And then there's another scene where Kaladin's like, I don't want to learn how to do this basic, boring stuff. I saw Dalinar catch a shard blade between the palms of his hands. Yeah. I want to know how to do that. And Zahale's called it the life clap or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines.
He said the Blackthorn pulled off the life clap, did he? Good for him. I'm not teaching you that because that's risky and dangerous. And if you're in that position that you need to do it, it's the last case. You've already lost if you're in that position.
Yeah.
You should never be on in a position where the only option you have left is to catch the blade. Dalinar was there and he did it because he's awesome. But you should never be there because you'll be losing if that's the case.
Yeah.
So Kaladin also doesn't argue, and Zahale's like, no arguing, huh? And Kaladin's like, well, there's no use to it. You're right. I see your logic and you're right, so I'm not gonna argue about it. And then Kaladin asks Zahale to rush him with a shard blade. Without a guard.
As one does.
Because he needs to be scared.
Yeah.
And he does a decent job running away. He would have lost, but he does a decent job running away.
Yeah.
Adolin is also at the training grounds, and Adolin's like no longer throwing jabs at them for training like this.
Yeah.
Because Adolin is like, I know that you need to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that this is the thing that we need to
they
do.
They also now, like, they still don't like each other, mm-hmm. but they have, like, kind of a connection now because they both almost lost to Zeth.
The assassin in white.
They almost lost to him, and they have this connection of, okay, we're bonded by that now, and by the fact that we have this common enemy.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Sydney, side thing. Did you kind of feel like a lot of the storyline with the Parshendi and the countdown was put on pause for this week's reading? Just thinking about it now.
Kind of, yeah.
It really feels like Shallan showed up, and so the stress that was building just kind of put on pause for a few chapters.
Brandon Sanderson was like, hold on real quick, romance.
It's more interesting to see what Shallan is doing.
And I don't mind the romance.
Although, this is over the course of 2 days, though, this entire, all this reading. It's not a long time
period. It's not a long time period, no.
But Adolin and Kaladin are kind of talking, and Shallan shows up, and Adolin's like, oh, I can deal with this. She's come to watch me spar. I need to send her out. And he runs over, when he gets to her, she just walks past him, like seeming to not even notice that he was there. And Kaladin throws a jab like, huh, come to watch you, huh?
That's hilarious to me.
Turns out, what was she actually there for, Sydney?
She was there to make sketches of the shard blades in the plate because she wants to update the, her claim is that she wants to update the king's library or whatever it is. I'm sure she's there because she wants to find out more about shard blades and stuff.
Yeah.
And draw them and, figure out how to use them in her own way, sneaky.
This is a good theory.
But, it makes sense.
Yeah, market is a theory, though, because it doesn't say that objectively. So theory time.
Did we ever mention that we now have a theory man?
Yes. Han Solo.
Yeah.
Has let us know that he is, in fact, keeping track of our theories.
I think we mentioned that last week.
We might have.
But shout out again. We appreciate you.
We're forgetful little idiots, so just forgive us for that, please. But we're going to continue on now. Shallan is drawing these things.
Yeah.
Then later on, Kaladin finally gets Moash to admit what his, grudge is. And, in fact, it was Moash. Who let down the rope for his friends to cut the railing.
Moash kind of just did it on his own. He just kind of walked up to the Kaladin and was like, hey, right now while we're surrounded by all these people, best time to tell you what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but whatever.
And it was... It's because the king... Essentially, Moash says this is true. We're not sure how true it is.
Yeah.
The king put his parents in the dungeon in order to help one of his friends who had a competing business with Moash's parents.
Yeah.
We don't know how true that is, but they die in the dungeon, and Moash feels like the king
basically
killed his parents.
Moash wasn't there when this happened.
Yes.
Moash was, gone, then he came home to find that his parents were,
dead in a dungeon.
Yeah.
And so he blames the king for that. He says the king, just out of uncaringness, killed my parents.
Yeah.
And so that's why he wants to kill him. But Kaladin is, Storm, Moash, we're supposed to be protecting this man. We've been hired to protect him.
Yeah. put Kaladin in a very difficult position. Also, I don't know how to feel about this because Moash, like, what he's doing is wrong. The revenge is not the way to take this. And he's putting all of Bridge 4 and all of the Bridgemen in a really, really bad place, especially Kaladin, because now that Kaladin knows, he's putting them in a very, very difficult place. If Moash gets found out, chances are all the Bridgemen are going to lose their jobs and the people aren't going to trust them anymore. Like, yeah. Just because one of them's doing it, they're going to lose trust in all of them, which is not good. So Moash is not only screwing himself, he's screwing everybody else if he gets caught.
But Kaladin promises to go meet with the people, like the team that Moash is on, to kill the king.
Well, hold on real quick. Also, how I feel about this. Moash, like, I don't like him for what he's doing, but also I feel for him because if this is true, it's really sucky. And, like, how would you react if this happened to your parents?
Right.
So I kind of see where he's coming from, but also...
He's putting everyone in a very difficult position.
Okay, sorry. Anyways, continue.
Anyway, Kaladin promises to go, like, meet with the people that Moash said he was going to, like, that he's working with to kill the king.
Yeah.
Which is already a weird decision. Why'd you do that, Cal? Whatever. And then Syl walks up and basically says she hates that. She hates that Moash is trying to kill the king. Killing is wrong. It's against his honor. Whatever. You know.
Yeah.
Syl did her whole thing of being an honor spend. She's honorous and she doesn't like killing. Even killing like Parshendi she doesn't like, but she feels like that's more like has to be done kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's this thing. And then the chapter ends.
Yeah.
Kaladin goes back to practicing.
Yeah. This is where he talks about.
The life clap thing happens at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. This is where he talks about that.
It's called the last clap, not life clap. But that's so cool calling it. I love that that has a name because, of course, it would. If that's a thing you can do to the blade, it's like catch the not sharp parts of it.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they would have named it because, of course, it would have happened sometimes throughout history.
Yeah. Because how else would they know that that was a thing that's possible?
And so the whole idea of like, the old Blackthorn did the last clap. Neat.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You're not doing this, though, and I'm not teaching you how to.
Oh, no. Yeah. I won't teach you how to do this, but it's good for him.
Maybe he'd still teach it, though, just as like a, hey, by the way, this is a worst-case scenario thing, but here it is, I guess, if you want to try it.
To be honest, I can't remember. I can't think of a reason what training you would need on that. It's just catch the edge of the blade with the flats of your hands.
That's true.
And then that's the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
And here I have art. Do you have art here?
I also have art.
There's Shallan's drawings of the sharp blades in plate. Really cool looking.
I actually really appreciate this because it's cool to see how tall the sharp blades actually are.
Oh, and
to get an idea of kind of a better idea of what they look like.
Yeah.
Versus just like reading it. So I think it's kind of cool.
And Firestorm is like a flaming looking blade and it's the blade of King Cavalar.
Yeah.
And Sunraiser is like a regular, it looks like a traditional sword. Kind of, with the hilt and everything.
Yeah.
But it has a bunch of glyphs along its edge, and that's the sword of King Elokar.
Yeah, I really like the Firestorm one. I think that one's cool.
It looks very cool,
That'd be the kind of sword I would want, I think.
Yeah.
It's cool looking. This one down here at the bottom with the little, like, edge that's, like, pointed out is kind of interesting.
The hook one?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's Oathbringer. I'm pretty sure that's Dalinar's old sword.
Well, Dalinar wouldn't... I mean,
it's
how would Shallan draw it? Because Dalinar doesn't have it now, anymore.
But maybe someone's practicing with it, but...
Maybe.
I mean, maybe it's not that one, but Dalinar's old sword was always described having like a fish hook on the back.
Oh.
So that might be it.
That's cool, though.
Anyway, there's also drawings of the stances.
Yeah. And all the shard plates and stuff, which is really cool.
Yep. Super neat. Moving on.
All right, moving on. We're on chapter 45 now, which is called Middle Fest.
This is, by the way, another baller chapter.
I agree. And we get to see someone.
We get to see someone we've been missing out on for a while.
Yeah. Though it's not confirmed, but it makes sense.
Sydney, it's confirmed. I confirm it.
Okay, well.
You guessed who it was.
I mean, I assumed.
It's pretty clear. Yeah, it's him.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it was confirmed, like, later on in the book or not.
I'm pretty sure later on. Later, when they meet as, like, the king's wit. They meet and she recognizes him. I might be crazy, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
That's not a spoiler, I don't think. Anyway, continue.
Chapter 45, Middlefest. 3.5 years ago. So we're back with Shallan. She's
recent, actually. I didn't realize how recent.
3.5 years ago?
Yeah, because Kaladin's were like 8 years ago.
They did get closer, though.
Yeah, but these ones are also catching up right now.
Yeah.
The earlier ones were like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, when she was 12, it was like 7 years ago or something like that.
I think the latest I started at was 5.
She's 17. She's not that old. She's 17.
Yeah.
Oh, she's marrying a 20-something-year-old. That's not bad, actually. 17 and 24 is not terrible.
I mean, as a 17 and 24 aren't, like, crazy.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
And, I mean, 17 is underage, but...
In
our world, it'd be a little bit more weird. But in this culture, it's more normal.
Also,
and then once she turns 18, it's less strange.
It's also not even a joke. There's a different piece of lore about this world that you would never know about unless you've read. There's a selection of stories called Arcanium Unbound, which has a bunch of little like fairy tales from a bunch of different worlds.
Yeah.
Before each fairy tale, a person who's like a world hopper writes a bit about that world. And this world has slightly longer than normal
years. Oh, I think
years,
we've talked about this.
So
yeah.
These characters are all slightly older. Like if they came to Earth, Kaladin, who right now is 20, would be something more like 23, I think.
Yeah.
So she's likely like more closer to 18 and a half, 19.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's neat.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, Shallan, they're at like this like carnival type thing.
Yeah.
And Shallan's looking at a chicken, but I don't think it's actually a chicken. I think it's more of like a parrot because it can talk back and it also is bright color. The guy calls it a chicken, but I'm pretty sure it's more like a parrot.
I think... the word for bird in this world is just chicken.
Oh, probably.
I think that's how it is.
But I think in our world, it'd be more of a parrot.
Yeah.
But she's looking at this chicken and is like, what the heck is this thing? You know,
yeah.
Very brief interaction. And then her father calls her back and he's like, come on, we gotta go.
Yeah.
And they head off towards this dueling ground where they're going to go and sit and watch the duels, which Shallan does not want to do. Shallan wants to wander around an adventure, but she follows her.
Because they're at a fair. Did you say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. She wants to wander around, check out the fair. Do these things, but her father's like, you need to grow up, okay? Stop. You're acting like a child wandering around. You need to grow up, which is
says it's almost time to get you married, and she's like 14.
Yeah.
A little bit weird.
Not great. We see, I don't know if we've met, have we met Shallan's stepmother up to this point? I don't think so.
I think she's been mentioned, but never like actually.
Yeah, Shallan's stepmother's around now. Her name is Malise, and she's only 10 years older than Shallan.
Oh, actually, oh.
Which is an ick.
That's a very different length of time.
Actually, she's less than 10 years older than Shallan. Sorry. It's even more of an ick.
So the oldest she can be then is 23.
Yeah.
And her dad is what, 40?
At least. If not, I mean, she's got four older brothers.
Oh, you're right.
Three older brothers.
A 20-something brother. Helleran's like 20-something.
Yeah.
So if her dad was...
He's got to be probably close to his 50s.
That's nasty.
I know. That's what I said.
She also gets beat. I hate this. I hate her dad so much. And these reading made me hate her dad so much.
I think I may hate her dad more than I hate Sadeus right now.
Oh, that's a bold statement. Okay.
But it's true.
Fair enough.
Sadeus is a terrible human being. But at least he's not beating his children and his wife.
Yeah.
Not that he has children. Does Sadeus have children?
I don't know. I don't think so.
But at least he's not beating his wife. Okay, someone he's supposed to love. He's not supposed to love Dalinar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he should love his people, but, you know. I guess he didn't hurt his people other than the Bridgemen, but.
Yeah. But Sadeus, he betrayed his, like, ally and stuff, which is weird. But this guy beats his, almost political betrayals for me is less bad than, like.
Than beating your wife your children.
And your wife and kids and people who, like, your maids and stuff are supposed to trust you. I almost find, to me.
That's why I'm saying. I think it's worse. We'll talk about this more for
rank the characters.
But I do think I think right now
you're
think
I hate him.
I hate him a lot. Okay. Anyways, they're sitting here watching this dueling ground, and Malise is there, who's Shallan's stepmother, as I've said. And Brightlord Revelar comes over, and he's one of like the he's equal kind of to Shallan's father. They're kind of equal in
rank.
Yeah. Thank you. That was the word I was.
But people
looking for.
Don't like Lynn.
Yeah, they do not like House D'Var, and they have every right reason not to, because Lynn's a terrible human being.
Right.
Father D'Var is an awful person. And so Revelar sits down, and they're talking about, like, dueling and stuff, and Revelar is talking about, hey, I want to be your business associate. And Lynn's like, huh? What? We haven't talked about this. We haven't agreed to this. And basically, Revelar wants to... buy bags of cotton, right?
Essentially cotton.
Yeah, cotton. Buy bags of cotton, but he's only giving him one clear mark, which is really, really low for this, and is not worth it. And Shallan's father is like, no, I'm not doing that. You're crazy. If you think I'm selling that, this is worth way more than that.
Yeah.
And Revelar's like, yeah, but no one else is going to buy it from you. Like, I'm doing you a favor.
People like me, they don't like you.
Yeah. Like, I'm doing you a favor. And Shallan's father is getting really angry. It's just, it's not super great.
Yeah.
And then Shallan is like, well, first off, Revelar looks at Shallan as like, does the child have to be here? Which is really crappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Shallan leaves, and she's happy to leave. She doesn't want to be there. So she heads out, and she wants to wander around the fair, but she thinks work first, because she's got a plan to try and help her brothers.
Got work to do.
Yeah, she's got a plan to try and help her brothers. So she heads out, and she finds she's walking around the dueling ground still, and she finds Aelita, who is the daughter of that family that came for that feast that one time.
The guy that was making eyes with her second oldest brother.
Yep. And so she hands Aelita this note, and the note is to her brother, or from her brother.
Yeah.
I don't remember which. One of the two.
Essentially, in short, Shallan is scheming to try and help her brothers be better.
Yeah.
So she's pairing up the oldest, who, am I allowed to, I'm not trying to steal it too much, but I'm trying.
No, go for it.
Pairing up the oldest, who is currently watching a dog fight because he likes seeing animals die because he's a creep.
Yeah.
Getting him love to try and help with that.
Yep.
And then past that, you can move on then.
Yeah. So, she gives this note and is like, hey, can you meet him later? You know, and she's like, the Aelita is like, yeah, for sure. And Shallan heads out and she runs into the guard named Jix, who is the guard who's supposed to be like keeping an eye on her. And she's like, all right, Jix, I need you to find the gambling area for me. And he's like, oh, fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, but he agrees. And so they head out and they find the gambling area. And like Colton said, they find Balot, who is watching the Axe Hound fights and
basically
betting on
dog
those.
Fighting.
Yeah.
The worst thing.
He's not going to just gamble. He's going because he wants to watch it because he enjoys the dog fights, which is terrible.
By the way.
Yes.
Speaking of dog fights, if you want to see an amazing Disney short, look up Kitbull, KITBULL.
Oh.
It's an amazing Disney short. It made me cry. It's so good.
Interesting.
Anyway, continue.
Okay. And so Shallan tells Balot about this plan, about how, you know, go meet this girl. And so Balot is like, okay, and goes and heads out to meet this girl.
So she helped her brother.
Yeah, which is really awesome. And then Shallan heads out and she runs into her father, and her father is talking to a messenger guy who is like giving information about her brother Helleran.
Yep.
And her father is refusing to like tell her what it's about, refusing to like, you know, talk about him. And Shallan's trying to get this information, and her father is refusing to give it. The messenger won't give it. The messenger leaves. And basically her father is like, you know, your brothers are ignoring me. Your older brother doesn't exist anymore. He's not around. Like, he's dead to me, okay?
He disinherits dead. Him.
Yeah, he basically just right then and there disinherits him.
Tet Balot is now non-Balot. Wiccan becomes Tet. Jushu becomes Asha. I only have 3 sons, he says.
That's so sad. But yeah, he disinherits them, and then Shallan leaves again and heads back to their carriage, where she finds her other brother, her youngest brother,
I think. Jushu.
Yeah. I think.
Let me see. Jushu's youngest. Is it Jushu?
Okay. No, sorry. It's Wickham. She finds her middle brother, Wickham.
Well, I think Jushu and Wickham are twins. But
yes.
Wickham is technically older.
Yeah. She runs into Wickham. She finds Wickham, who is in their carriage, and he's just kind of sitting there, like, alone, not doing super great.
We learn later something. So when I said the other day, what's wrong with Wickham? Because there's something
Wickham,
wrong with all of them.
Yeah.
We learn later in this reading what's wrong with Wickham.
He's like kind of suicidal.
He's carrying around Blackbane, which is the thing that Kaladin was carrying around at the beginning.
Yeah.
That could kill you. So later on we learn, and because Shallan is being helpful, later on he gives up his Blackbane to Shallan because she helped him, which is an awesome moment, actually. It makes me really happy.
Yeah. But Shallan hands him math problems, and he's like, what do you want me to do with these? I'm not going to do anything with these.
He also says, I know what you're doing. Like, you're not helping. Yeah. I know what you're doing.
And he kind of like shoves her out, and she feels awful. But when she turns around and look, well, sorry, she runs into a man who's the messenger, and guess what? Who the man is?
Can we dramatically read this?
Yeah, for sure.
I love any wit talking is dope. Axe Hound, a voice said from behind her.
Shallan jumped, safe hand to breast, and spun. He rested up on a tree limb, wearing his black outfit. He moved as she saw him, and the spiky leaves around him retreated in a wave of vanishing red and orange. It was the messenger who had spoken to Father earlier.
"I have wondered," the messenger said, "if any of you find the term odd. You know what an axe is, but what is a hound?"
"Why does that matter?" Shallan asked.
"Because it is a word," the messenger replied. "A simple word with a world embedded inside, like a bud waiting to open." He studied her. "I did not expect to find you here."
Her instincts told her to back away from this strange man. And yet, he had news of Helleran, news her father would never share. "Where did you expect to find me? At the dueling grounds?"
The man swung around the branch and dropped to the ground.
Shallan stepped backward.
"No need for that," the man said, settling onto a rock. "You needn't fear me. I'm terribly ineffective at hurting people. I blame my upbringing."
"You have news of my brother, Helleran."
The messenger nodded. "He is a very determined young man."
"Where is he?"
"Doing things he finds very important. I would fault him for it, as I find nothing more frightening than a man trying to do what he has decided is important. Very little in the world has ever gone astray, at least on a grand scale, because a person decided to be frivolous."
"He is well, though?" she asked.
"Well enough. The message for your father was that he has eyes nearby and is watching."
No wonder it had put Father in a bad mood. "Where is he?" Shallan said, timidly stepping forward. "Did he tell you to speak to me?"
"I'm sorry, young one," the man said, expression softening. "He gave me only that brief message for your father, and that only because I mentioned I would be traveling this direction."
"Oh, I assumed he'd sent you here. I mean, that coming to us was your primary purpose."
"Turns out that it was. Tell me, young one, do Sprens speak to you?"
The lights going out, life drained from them. Twisted symbols the eye should not see. Her mother's soul in a box. She said. "No. Why would a Spren speak to me?"
"No voices," the man said, leaning forward. "Do spheres go dark when you are near?"
"I'm sorry," Shallan said. "But I should be getting back to my father. He will be missing me."
"Your father is slowly destroying your family," the messenger said. "Your brother was right on that count. He was wrong about everything else."
"Such as?"
"Look." The man nodded back towards the carriages. She was at the right angle to see into the window of her father's carriage. She squinted.
Inside, Wickham leaned forward, using a pencil taken from her satchel, which she left behind. He scribbled at the mathematical problems she left. He was smiling. Warmth. That warmth she felt, a deep glow, was like the joy she had known before. Long ago. Before everything had gone wrong. Before Mother. That interaction, I love. I love it. It's a good extra interaction. I really enjoy that. And then
after that, if you're not sure who this messenger is still, then they go into just a story. And as soon as a strange man starts telling a story, you should immediately be like,
"Hoid!
Oh, it's Wit. It's Hoid.
It's Hoid Wit."
Literally any person who's a storyteller in any of these books, you should be suspicious. Like, is this Hoid? He's telling a story. It sounds like Hoid.
Yeah, it was funny. As I was reading this, I was like, this is Hoid. But yeah, he goes into a story about beauty and art and whatever. I'm not going to go into crazy details about it.
Teaches a lesson.
He asks about lies and truth and obviously knows more. We all know that for whatever reason, Hoid/Wit knows more than he should. And so he obviously knows about Shallan and the fact that she could be a Radiant, that she's got these powers that she doesn't fully understand yet, but she has them and he knows it.
Yeah.
He's trying to ignore it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're talking about this and then Shallan gets a memory of like life before her mother died. And it's a very happy memory. And it's very sad. And I feel very hard for her. And then right before the chapter ends, the messenger, Wit, tells her that her brother is in a Lethkar. And that's where it ends.
Also, the memory that she gets was for Wit to prove to himself that she has the powers because the mist started to form around her.
Yep.
And he goes, "Oh, I see. You don't know how to control it yet, but you are definitely like a person who has those powers."
Yeah.
And also, I hope to be seen as wit someday, because when he leaves, the messenger walked away on light feet, his steps smooth, almost like moves in a dance. I hope somebody watches me walk and is like, that dude just looks like he's dancing. Look at that guy go.
Wit has to probably be the happiest person ever. Like, do you think Wit ever gets sad about anything?
Even when he's, like, because there's some scenes where he seems deeply troubled, but then he, like, oh, well, and then dances away. It's like, oh, hi, bye, Wit.
I love Wit. He seems so happy all the time.
Or Hoyt, I guess, technically. But
yeah. Hoyt, yeah.
I love it. Anyway, you ready for the next chapter?
Real quick, this is totally off topic, but Colton knows this. One of our friends has a Hoyt shirt because he really likes Brandon Sanderson books and may one day pop onto the podcast.
As a guest, yes.
Yeah. But every time I see him wearing it, I look at him and go, Hoyt! Every Hoyt! Time. I say, I like your Hoyt shirt, Marcus, every single time.
It also, it helps Sydney, because now we have an image of when someone describes Hoyt, we have an image. It's like, basically, man who has sharp features and white hair. If they describe that, then it's like, that's probably Hoyt. We've seen him enough on that guy's shirt. It's probably Hoyt.
I just figure it out based on the way they talk.
Yeah.
Because Marcus's shirt is not colored.
He is white. You can see his hair is blonde or white. It's black and white. But so his hair
I don't know that I've looked at it that hard, to be honest.
Anyway, you ready?
Yeah.
Number 46.
46.
Patriots.
Patriots.
That's funny. Here's the book bit. You ready?
Book bit.
I knew it was coming. When Samal was informed of the arrival of the Edge Dancers, a concealed consternation and terror, as is common in such cases, fell upon him. Although they were the most demanding...
They were not.
The most demanding of orders, their graceful, limber movements hid a deadliness that was, by this time, quite renowned. Also, they were the most articulate and refined of the Radiants. From Words of Radiance, chapter 20, page 12.
It makes sense that the book Word of Radiance would talk about the Radiants.
Yeah, man.
It makes a lot of sense. It's like Way of Kings. Like the book Way of Kings would talk about
how to be a king. Yeah, how to be a king.
Makes sense.
Yeah, man. It's a good title.
Oh, for sure. Good job. Good job, Brandon Sanderson.
Good job, or fictional person who titled Words of Radiance.
Good job, Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah. Kaladin chapter. Kaladin is like walking down the lines of like the new bridge crews, essentially, that are like being trained up and giving compliments and trying to like to help. One bridge crew is doing great, one is struggling. That's the most important part from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then also Kaladin notices there are three new Herdazians sitting around the fire because there are three more named Rod and Huyo are sitting around and they go, bridge four! And then they move on with their lives. Then
Lopin just brings in random people and I love that.
I love Lopin.
I love that for him.
Kaladin then goes to Shen and gives him a spear because he got it clear with Dalinar first. Dalinar asks, do you trust the man? And Kaladin says, yes. And so Dalinar approves Shen holding a spear. And Kaladin says, there are no slaves in Bridge 4. You are one of us. Here you go. And gave him a spear.
Yeah.
Cool moment. Don't you think?
Yes. Also, Shen tries to say something real quick and then doesn't get it in because freaking Moash comes and interrupts.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to know what Shen was going to say.
He says, yeah, he says, sir, he seemed troubled by something when he started talking.
Yeah.
And then he gets interrupted and he says, it's okay, later.
I really very strongly think that Shen is a dull form from the Parshendi.
Not a Parsh man, but a Parshendi.
Yeah.
Or a singer.
Yeah, I very strongly think that.
Oh, no, sorry, a listener. Listener, yeah.
That's what I very strongly believe.
That's a good theory.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, they go out to a bar, you know?
Yeah, they finally talk Kaladin into going to a bar.
They go to a bar. Pete? Is it Pete that has the love of the bar?
Maybe.
Anyway, they go to a specific bar, and I think it's Pete.
Pete. Yep.
There's a woman at the bar, a barmaid, that Pete has a crush on. They're like crushing on each other. It's cute.
It's very cute.
Rock and the Lopin are doing a drinking off.
Ka is the barmaid.
Ka, yes.
Who Pete has a crush on.
Also, Rock, the Lopin, and I think Sigsel's also a part of it, are having a drink off. Rock, of course, is going to win it because he's a big man.
Real quick.
Yep.
Sorry. They get to talking real quick about married men in Bridge 4 because some of them are married.
Right.
And the fact that they're going to need housing for the married people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think about Pete and Ka. So this is just interesting to think about the fact that the men can now get back to their old lives and they can now have their wives. Their wives can come and be with them. And that's kind of amazing, really. Yeah.
That is really cool. You're right. Yeah.
That's all.
And then Rock tells a story of why, like, he tells a story of his people about why the peaks are warm.
Yeah.
And, like, a bunch of gods, like, the god of the grass grew trees, god of the mountain made the water warm, god of the rivers made, like, big lakes on top of each mountain. Essentially, they're just hot springs that keep the area around the mountaintop warm. But then Rock says something interesting. Rock says, I myself have met a god. Let me see if you can find it. Well, he also says getting a dip in the Horneater Peaks is death to somebody not from the mountains.
I wonder if that's true.
Well, Sigsel says swimming in the Emerald Pools is death to outsiders because you execute outsiders who touch them.
That's kind of funny. I like Sigsel and Rock's reaction here, like interaction here. Rock is very much like Rock, for some reason, has just become like the comedy of the group.
Yeah.
Almost like the sarcastic.
Yuppie.
Lopin is the comedy.
Yeah.
Rock is like the sarcastic backman who's just there making sarcastic comments every once in a while.
Okay. You ready for this though?
Yeah.
I want you to hear this again because I'm drawing attention to it. Rock says, on top is water about the springs. Beneath is not. It is something else. Water of life, the place of the gods. This is true. I have met a god myself. And when asked what kind of god, he says, I saw Lun-Ukulaki, Lun-U-Anaki. Lun-U-Anaki is god of travel and mischief, very powerful god. He came from depths of peak ocean, from realm of gods. What did he look like? The Lopin asks. Like person, maybe a Lethe, though skin was lighter. Very angular face, handsome perhaps, with white hair.
I actually didn't notice that the first time. That's hilarious. And Sigsel's like, white hair.
Because you know why Sigsel's reacting.
Sigsel knows.
Sigsel, Sigsel was his apprentice, remember?
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. Yes. I totally forgot about that.
So Sigsel hears of this. So Rock thinks of Hoid as Lun-U-Anaki, god of mischief and travel.
That's hilarious.
And to be honest, if you think about it, that's a pretty good description of him.
Yeah.
The god of mischief and travel is kind of cracks.
Actually, that didn't even register in my brain the first time I read this. I totally missed that.
Yeah. And then apparently Hoid came through. He appeared in all the mountains, came out of the waters. I don't know what he was doing in there.
He's just doing Hoid things.
Yeah, just in the waters of the place. Whatever.
I also totally forgot that Sigsel was Hoid's apprentice.
Yeah, he was. That's those two things. When I heard this, I was like, I need to draw attention because I know Sydney will be able to put it together.
Yeah.
It'll just take
I totally missed that. Yeah. Like, I think I would have, if I had caught that when I was reading, I would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I totally missed that.
So Hoid came out, made fun of Rock. Rock was like, ha ha, yes, the god of mischief. Woo. And then Hoid left and that was their whole interaction. But after that, Sigsel got very upset. Like something about this made Sigsel go quiet and like freak out a little bit.
I think Sigsel misses Hoid.
That's a good guess. I like that. But then
I'd miss Hoid too, I think, if I was his apprentice.
Yes.
I feel like Hoid would be the best person to be an apprentice under. I feel like that'd be so fun.
He's a very smart man.
Yeah, also, dude knows everything.
Yeah, he's like a god, essentially.
Yeah.
He's not really, I don't think. But anyway.
Do you think he could take me to different worlds?
I don't know. We'll learn about that.
Like, is maybe. This like apparition from Harry Potter where I can hold your hand and apparate with you and we can go to like different places? Because like in Harry Potter, the kids who can't apparate, they can apparate with adults if they just hold on to them. So can I apparate with Hoid?
You know what I'm going to say? Make a theory about how you think it works.
Oh, goodness gracious. That's too much.
Okay, whatever. we learn how it works eventually in the series.
Oh, okay.
So worry about that later. World hopping.
I have no theory.
You'll learn about how world hopping works later.
Interesting.
Because there is an explanation, which
you
is
you blink,
funny.
And ta-da, you're there.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's more complex than that.
Then Moash calls Kaladin back because now is the time for the meeting he agreed to with the Elekar assassins.
With the... They're not ghost bloods. Are they?
No, they're the Sons of Honor.
Sure.
That's what they're called, is the Sons of Honor.
Oh, okay. Continue.
It's a different group. There's a few
too
groups.
Too many groups.
Not too many. It's just two.
I know.
People, Sons of Honor, Ghostbloods. Ghostbloods are going after like information that Yasna had. Yep. Sons of Honor are trying to kill the king, essentially. And like give the...
Lots of killing.
Trying to give the kingdom to Dalinar Kolan.
Yeah.
In there are three people. A light-eyed man, a light-eyed woman, and a dark-eyed man. They're all sitting at a table. They invite Kaladin in. Then they try and convince Kaladin why they're in the correct, like why they're right.
Yeah.
The man's names, by the way, are Graves is one of the man's. I forget the woman's. All three of them are named. Graves is like the leader, the light-eyed man who's the leader.
Yeah. Yeah, Graves. Oh, also
Danlin,
who was dating Adolin at one point.
You're right.
Yeah, she was Adolin's girlfriend at
You're
one time.
Right. I forgot.
I
about
read that.
That
and I was like, really?
I recognize the name, but you're right. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Oh, she was.
She's Dalinar scribe still, right? Isn't she still his scribe?
Yes.
That's so funny.
She's probably part of the help to try and get the king killed.
Oh, like, well, I mean, obviously she's in this group.
That's awesome. I never connected that. Good job.
Thank you. I'm proud of myself for connecting. I think she mentioned it, doesn't it?
I don't know. I think they mentioned that she's one of the scribes. I never pieced together that she was Adolin's girlfriend at one point. And then...
Yeah, she says, I spent the last 3 years in Kolinar helping the clerks there sort through the mess he made of the royal codes. And basically says that, yeah...
Yes, she is.
Yeah. She kind of mentions it, but doesn't like fully say that she's a scribe. But she is Dalinar's scribe.
Basically, they say why Elokar's a terrible king. And then Kaladin says, I'll think about it and I'll get back to you. Essentially, just to get out of there. But Kaladin in his head says, I wish they hadn't made such good points.
Yeah.
So he kind of agrees with a lot of the points they're making, which isn't great.
Yeah. But I don't think he's going to do anything. And he says himself that he's not going to. Like, he tells Moash that...
Yeah, he does. But then the last thing he thinks is, be a surgeon this kingdom needs. Because that's what they're arguing is, like, if you have a festering hand that's going to kill the rest of your body, you need to cut off the hand. Elokar is a festering hand that's going to kill the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it almost convinces Kaladin. Like, he's clearly thinking about it because he has the thought.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a mess. So, yeah, that's concerning.
Yeah, I don't think Kaladin will... do anything about it. I think he tells Moash not to continue to do this, and I don't think Moash... Okay, I don't think Moash is going to listen. I think Moash will, and I think in the end, Kaladin's going to have to choose between letting Moash kill the king or doing what he knows is right and not letting Moash hurt the king.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in the end he's going to have to... I think in the end he's going to have to battle Moash.
Okay.
Or do something with Moash, turn Moash in, something... against Moash, which is going to be not great, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, good thought. I like it.
I am proud of the fact that I realized who Danlan was.
I am proud of that fact, too. Good job, Sydney.
Thank you.
Moving onward and upward.
Onward and upward, chapter 47, Feminine Wiles.
Feminine?
That's what I said, feminine?
It's feminine.
You said feminine, and I was like, isn't that what I said, feminine?
I know, but that's wrong. It's feminine.
I know it is.
Do you? I can't tell.
Yeah, I do, actually. I do. Okay, gosh.
Gosh.
I know it's feminine. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, let's
go. I like feminine better, though.
Okay.
Shouldn't it be feminine? Because nine is... I know it's feminine, but nine is a word on its own.
Yeah, but it's a number.
I know.
It's like masculine and feminine.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I think it should be feminine. I think that'd be fun.
Sounds German if it's feminine.
Feminine?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it like that. Feminine.
That's not a German accent, but good try.
I wasn't trying to do a German
accent.
Read
the book bit.
I don't want to read the book bit. Okay, I'll read the book
bit. I'll read the book bit.
No. Yet were the
orders not disheartened.
Shush it. Let me read. Yet were the orders not disheartened by so great a defeat, for the Lightweavers provided spiritual sustenance. They were enticed by those glorious creations to venture on a second assault. From Words of Radiance, chapter 21, page 10.
Page 10.
Are you copying me so much?
I don't know. I'm just being silly.
It's rude. Okay, we're back with Shallan, and Shallan is talking to Pattern about how something doesn't make sense. And the thing that doesn't make sense is she can't, for the life of her, figure out where Urethru might be.
Urethru.
I knew that, too.
Yeah, it's okay.
Urethru.
Fantasy words can be said however they want. I think, so like, listener, if you say them differently than we do, they're fantasy words, but I think you and I need to find a same way to say
it. I know it's Urethru. Yeah. Just for some reason, when I read it, my brain was like, no, Urethru.
I mean, probably because you're thinking
it's about, like, feminine.
Yeah, feminine. You were thinking feminine and you thought that Urethra.
Maybe.
Your brain was on the feminine mode and you thought Urethra.
That's funny. But yeah, Urethru, she can't figure out where it actually might be on the Shattered Plains because every map that she's seen says it's in a different place.
And basically, whoever made the map moves it, makes it closer to them.
Yeah, than it actually was.
If somebody in Yakaved made the map, Urethru would be closer to Yakaved than somebody in who somebody in a Leth card making it would put it closer to them, like, so it moves.
Yeah. She just, for the life of her, can't figure out where it might be, and so she's really frustrated. And she's talking to Pattern about this, and suddenly Pattern starts reading the Dawn chant that's written on the maps, and she's like, excuse me? You can read that? And he's like, I can't read all of it, but I can read some of it.
Yeah. He's like, he goes like, King, something I don't understand. Order, perhaps? Map? Yes, that would likely be map. So there's next, perhaps, to draw something. It's like he's piecing it together slowly.
Yeah, but which that's, is kind of cool.
But to be fair, language is just patterns, so it makes sense that the guy whose like entire thing is being able to recognize patterns is able to decipher a language.
I mean, his name is literally Pattern, so I guess it makes sense.
His name is a long list of numbers and letters that's a pattern, but he lets everyone call him Pattern.
Yeah. It's interesting, and she's trying to figure out how anyone is able to get to Yirithiru because there's no roads to it.
Yeah.
And so she's trying to figure out...
But it is a place because the guy in Way of Kings walked to it.
Yeah. And so she wonders about, like, it not being on the Shatter Plains, but what if the Shatter Plains are a pathway to it?
Right.
And here's my theory. So you remember when we read the Barshani chapters and they talked about how the humans didn't see it, but the Shatter Plains were, like, old, broken-down city?
Yeah.
I think the city that they see in the Shatter Plains is Yirithiru, and okay. I think the chasms are the pathway to it. And I think somewhere in the chasms, there's an entrance to actually get into the city of Yirithiru. Like, I think it's almost underneath, like, the, like, rocks and stuff, which is why the humans don't see it like the Parshendi do.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a pathway through the chasms into it.
Theory, man. Mark it.
I actually am pretty proud of that theory.
It's a good theory. Mark it.
Okay. Anyways, so she's talking about that. She's talking about Shardblades. She's just trying to figure out how to get into Yirithiru and where in the world it is, because she's got no idea. And so she is now just trying to, she takes a bath here. She's talking about sketches. She's finally getting comfortable letting Pattern see her naked, which is kind of a funny little thing that gets mentioned here. Because she doesn't obviously like that. But
Pattern is so mad that he doesn't get to see men naked. Pattern's like, I want to understand the difference between men and women, and you won't let me see men naked.
And she's like, I'm not making nude sketches for you, Pattern. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's very funny. I really like Pattern. But Shallan realizes that she's got to head out because she's got a little date, right? With Adolin.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a date with Adolin, which is so fun.
She's got a little Datalin going on.
A Datalin. But she starts to head out after she's gotten ready, and she sees Pelona and Sabariel. Dang it.
You're doing good. You're doing good. No, you're fine.
Names kill me. It's the fantasy names words. In these books are the worst.
They're fantasy words. I know. That's also, for some reason, often what makes me not want to read a new fantasy book is if the description has too many fantasy words, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, Sabariel. Sorry. Pelona and Sabariel. Pelona's getting a massage from someone. I thought it was Sabariel at first. It's not.
He's just chilling nearby.
He's just hanging out.
I love them.
Why do I keep doing that? I keep saying words weird.
You're just hanging out. Slowly devolving into a southerner.
Hanging out. Gaz and Vathal are there, and they get into... they have a quick conversation, and then they get into the carriage.
Yeah.
And they start to head out. And... Shallan's in there talking to Pattern, and she inhaled some stormlight and is like, she's wondering if she has to make the drawing first to be able to light weave.
And for her to make it stick, it seems like it.
Yeah, it seems that way, which is so inconvenient.
Yeah, because she's able to make a very specific image to make her hair black, and it kind of does it for a second, and then it puffs away.
Yeah.
So it seems like to make it stick, she needs to draw something.
Yeah, but she... thinks about the book Words of Radiance and wanting to see if she can find it. And she just kind of has a whole little conversation with Pattern about just all the things that she's got to do, which is a lot, including seduce Adolin. Not really seduce, but kind of seduce.
And she says, I'll just have to use my feminine wiles.
Feminine wiles.
Which is where the title comes from.
And she's headed off now to go have her little date with Adolin. And she thinks about the fact that she's really not doing well with Navani. It's not working super well. But she's also thinking about the fact that she doesn't have, like, the same, like, hairstyle as a lot of the Alethi women. She doesn't dress the same way they do. And she's like, maybe I should change myself. But then she decides, no, I'm just going to have to use what I already have. And I really like that. I am really glad Shallan isn't changing herself to try and make Adolin attracted to her, because clearly Adolin likes her the way she is.
I agree.
And I'm a fan of that.
I agree.
And I think that if they end up together, which I hope they do, I think that it's good that she's different than the others, because it shows that Adolin loves her for her.
Yes.
That's all. That's the end of the chapter.
Now it's time for the chapter that makes me hate the dad.
You didn't already hate the dad?
It makes me hate him significantly more what happens in this chapter.
I agree.
It's chapter 48 called No More Weakness. This takes place 3 years ago. So
my noise was so much different than yours was.
Shallan is out in the yard with two of her brothers, Balot and Wickham. And they're just kind of having a good time talking. Like, actually is a pretty nice... Balot is throwing a toy for his dog.
Yeah.
Which he's no longer abusing.
Yay!
Which is a win. Seems like being with the woman is helping him.
Yep.
Not, like, be abusive to animals.
Yeah.
Which is great. Although, last book, we did see a cutaway to him in one of the interludes of him slowly ripping all the legs off a bunch of crabs. So he still does it somewhat, but not to, like, the bigger animals.
Is he married? Like, did...
I think they're together, yeah.
I feel like it's mentioned at some point later in the last book that he was had a wife or something.
Modern him is married. 3 years ago, he wasn't. But
so
modern
that's
him
cool. They
is
got
married
to
him. Yeah. And then they're talking and basically making fun of Balot for having, like, being in a crush mode, you know, and he's being all defensive.
It's very cute.
And Wickham, they do some, like, wordplay, like, to make fun of things. And
yeah.
That's fun. Wickham then gives the black root or black bane to Shallan to say, yep, like, I'm not going to commit suicide because you're helping me and I love you kind of, yeah, thing. Very sweet little moment.
Yeah, very good moment.
Then they hear the sound of wagon wheels rolling up to the front of their house.
Yep.
And they walk up and they find some debtors who have their brother Jushu chained up and are saying, if you don't give me money, we're going to take him. He owes us so much money from his gambling that we're going to take him if you don't give me money.
Yeah.
And father just basically says, bah, and then sends him off with the debtors.
Yeah. He's just kind of like, oh, well.
Oh, well.
And that's terrible.
Shallan hates that. So she tries to go, like, get her dad to change his mind. And he just goes, I'm not going to change my mind, Shallan. Leave. Jushu prepared this pyre himself, and she tries to interject. She goes, but, and he goes, leave me. And it's the first time that she sees him actually angry at her and not just at in general.
Yeah.
And.
Like, she's genuinely worried he's going to hurt her.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
And then she keeps trying to, like, get him to help and, like, basically, like, you know, criticizing him, and he hates it. The father does.
Yeah, well, she realizes that she brings up the fact that she knows that they're in debt and they have no money because she's seen, like, their accounts and seen what, like, the fact that they're in debt and all this. And so she brings that up and he is not a fan of that.
He turns, he glares at her, he grabs her by the arm and, like, digs her fingers into her. And he goes, I've done this for you and you will obey. I've gone wrong somewhere in letting you learn to question me. And she whimpers from the pain. And he goes, there will be changes into the house. No more weakness. I found a way. And Shallan goes, please stop. And for the first time, he kind of sees her, like, crying because he's hurting her. And he just puts her to a room and says, do not leave your room until I tell you you're welcome to.
Yeah.
And what Shallan does instead is she runs off and collects. Remember the knives that the brothers were giving as gifts?
Yep.
She takes the knives that they were giving as gifts and her necklace and runs over to the debtor, like runs to catch up to the debtors.
Yep.
And also she notices that Jushu has like a big black eye. He's been beaten pretty bad now.
Yeah.
And the debtor says...
He also doesn't even notice her. He's so out of it that he has no idea she's even there.
The debtor basically says, you are... what you have is not worth the value of him. And she says, well, what you're going to do to him is not worth the value either. Either this is something... And she says, you make your money from gamblers, you don't gamble. Killing him is a gamble that it will change anything. This is some guaranteed money. And basically, he goes, why do you care? And she says, on the day my mother died, he held me.
Yeah.
And that's enough to convince the debtor to let her have Jushu.
Yeah.
And he even gives her necklace back to her. So yeah. he takes yep. the two blades and exchange for Jushu. When she goes to save Wickham, Wickham's like, "You did it? You helped me? Why did Father help you?" And she says, "Father did not help. It was me." And he's been beaten very bad.
Yeah.
Can we do a dramatic reading of this last little part?
Yeah, for sure.
It's kind of bad. She goes back to her house and she's in her room. Here it goes.
Content that Jushu would be cared for, Shallan left them and entered the manor house. She climbed the stairs, passed Father's glowing room, and entered her chambers. She sat down on the bed. There, she waited for the high storm. Shouts rose from below. Shallan squeezed her eyes shut. Finally, the door to her rooms opened. She opened her eyes. Father stood outside. Shallan could make out a crumpled form behind him, lying on the floor of the hallway. Minara, the serving maid. Her body didn't lie right, one arm bent at the wrong angle. Her figure stirred, whimpering, leaving blood on the wall as she tried to crawl away. Father entered Shallan's room and shut the door behind him.
"You know I would never hurt you, Shallan," he said softly.
She nodded, tears leaking from her eyes.
"I found a way to control myself," her father said. "I just have to let the anger out. I can't blame myself for that anger. Others create it when they disobey me."
Her objection, that he hadn't told her to go immediately to her room, only that she shouldn't leave it when she was there, died on her lips. A foolish excuse. They both knew she'd intentionally disobeyed.
"I would not want to have to punish anyone else because of you, Shallan," Father said.
This cold monster. Was this really her father?
"It is time," Father nodded. "No more indulgences. If we are to be important in Yakaved, we cannot see Meek. Do you understand?"
She nodded, unable to stop the tears.
"Good," he said, resting his hand on her head, then running his fingers through her hair. "Thank you."
He left her, shutting the door. Wow. I think I officially do hate her father more than I hate Sadeas, which is saying something. But literally, okay, when I first read this, I thought the maid was dead. Okay, I thought he killed the maid, which he didn't.
He broke her arm and made her bleed.
Yes. And also, he basically blackmails Shallan into doing what he says so that he won't hurt anybody else.
He also
which is terrible.
He also outright blames her. "This woman in pain is your fault because you disobeyed me. I can't be blamed for my anger. You made me mad. And so this woman's blood is on your hands."
Like, literally, that's terrible. That's actually abuse in itself.
Absolutely.
He's not physically abusing her, but he's mentally abusing her.
I have a theory as to why he's not physically abusing her, by the way.
Okay.
From 3.5 years ago, mm-hmm. when she got into it, we know that at that time she has the light powers.
Yeah.
Like, we know also, like, you've made the connection. Basically, I think that he thinks that she has a blade. And so the only reason he refuses to hurt her is because he's scared for himself. I don't think it's out of love
maybe.
That he doesn't hurt her.
I also thought maybe it was because she looks like her mother.
Mm.
And
so you thought it might be out of love.
Not out of love. I don't think it's out of love. I think it's out of he hurt her mother. I mean, I guess we don't know what happened to her mother.
Yeah.
But out of he hurt her mother or scared of her mother or something along those lines of he's scared to hurt her because he already hurt her because like he thinks that she's his wife kind of almost. I think that's something along those lines.
Anyway.
Hey, Lindavar.
Yeah. A really, really bad person. No, I'm not a fan. On a happier note, though, look at this fun little drawing on the next page.
Very good drawing. I think it's from the folio.
It's from the thing that Adolin's looking at.
Yeah.
Also, now we get a fun chapter. So we get that really crappy chapter. And then we get to see Adolin and Shallan's date.
It's actually really cute, too.
It is really cute.
I loved it.
I'm excited.
I listened to it while I went and got myself Wendy's the other day. And I spent the whole time smiling real big because it was so cute.
And Colton driving through the drive-thru at Wendy's. He looks at the lady and he's just got this big face on it. Like, big face? Big smile on his
face. I got a big face on my face.
He's got this big smile on his face and this grin. And the lady's probably like, huh? You were that excited to get Wendy's, sir?
Wendy's is good.
Yeah, I guess.
Wendy's nuts. I don't go to Wendy's very often.
You disappoint me. Why is that so funny?
That response to that joke is funny. It's like Trelides.
I'm not saying it. You guys, if you want to know what it is, you'll have to go listen to Warbreaker.
I know a lot of you already know. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Anyways, chapter 49, Watching the World Transform. The little book bit says,
book bit.
These light weavers, by no coincidence, included many who pursued the arts, namely writers, artists, musicians, painters, sculptors. Considering the order's general temperament, the tales of their strange and varied mnemonic abilities may have been embellished.
From Words of Radiance, chapter 21, page 10.
I was just making sure I said mnemonic, right?
So we think this is the one that Shallan is, right?
Yes.
I guess that makes sense. She's an artist.
She's an artist. Yeah, it makes sense.
That tracks.
So I wonder if, for whatever reason, all the Lightweavers, they're all arts because they have to do some kind of art to make their light weaving work.
I still stand by the way, that I think that what Elokar was seeing in his reflection, where he kept saying like symbols in the corners of my eyes.
Yeah.
But he's not one of these. He's not a musician or any of that stuff that we know of. Maybe he is in his free time.
I don't know.
But anyway, that's all.
Yeah.
I still think what he's seeing is the cryptics. Because what he describes and being scared of reminds me so heavily of last chapter, end of chapter Shallan, where like the symbol heads were chasing her around and stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds so much to me like what Elokar was describing that I think it seems to me like Elokar is experiencing the same kind of thing.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, so we're with Shallan again, and she is hopping out of her carriage to go and meet Adolin. And they're in this like really fancy wine house where she finds out that they're going to watch the storm, the high storm that's coming.
So it's like
which she's not a huge fan of. She's kind of like, oh, gosh.
Is the only building with like the window towards the origin where the storms come from.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, the idea is get really close, but then get inside just in time to not die.
Yep. So she walks up to Adolin and he's just like, you know, hi, how are you? You settling in okay? Like, you know, being very polite. And he sits down and they're just talking. They're chatting about Sabariel and, you know, her being related, which is kind of weird that she's lying about it. But
yeah,
we're going to ignore that. And she's not. And they're just, you know, she's trying to act refined and be this person that she's not. And they start talking about getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, well, you know, we aren't supposed to get married. Yeah. Yasna just thought it would be a good idea, and your aunt kind of seemed to agree.
Don't give him an out, Shallan. What are you doing?
I know. And Adolin's like, yeah, but let's see where it goes.
Yay. And yay.
I'm a big fan of that. And so they're having a good conversation. They're talking about wine now. They start talking about wine. They're just kind of chatting about things. They're chatting about the fact that they're going to watch this storm.
And Shallan hates that. She goes all pale and nervous.
Yeah, is really not a big fan about it. And Adolin's like, you okay?
Yeah.
And she's like, it's fine. I'm always this pale. And he's like, okay.
And then Adolin starts telling a story. And Shallan just kind of is filling the role he expects her to be at first, which is not great. But then...
Yeah, she's just kind of filling it. They're talking about... He's trying to tell this story about this time that he was like... being surrounded and jumping in Sharpblade and all
this.
He's
a hero.
Yeah. And Shallan goes, hey, wait a minute. What if you need to poop? And he's like, he takes a moment. He's like, what? And they start talking about what happens if he has to poop while he's on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Because he can't just take off his Sharpblade very well or his Sharpplate very well. And he's like, what? I've never been asked this by a woman. And she goes, yay for originality, which I love.
And he has this whole conversation like describing like, well, there's breaks in battle, so sometimes I'll squat and then somebody has to wipe it for me. Not great. And then at a certain point he says, sometimes you can't do it and you have to do some things. And then he like looks at her and she goes, what? And he goes, just trying to see if you're secretly wit in a wig. Because the next thing he says is there's an old adage that it's better to be embarrassed than dead.
Yeah.
So Adolin Colin, cousin to the king, heir to the Colin princedom, have shat myself in Sharpplate 3 times, all on purpose.
And I love that. It's so funny. And he like doesn't seem too upset about the fact that he has to say this.
I mean, he's a little bit like, oh, well. He's a little bit like, about having to say it, but it's funny, and he doesn't throw a fit or anything.
Well, he tells her it's kind of refreshing to talk about something else because he've told the same story over and over again.
Right.
And Shallan says, "I'm sure you were quite brave." And he goes, "Quite." And she says, "Though probably not as brave as the poor men who have to clean your armor." And that cracks him up. And Shallan's like, "There's no way this man thinks that's funny."
It's not even like the date laugh he had been doing before. It's like he's really like pounding the table laughing.
Uh-huh. Like he is having a good time. And so after that, Shallan kind of chills out and starts to be more herself than trying to be someone else, which is really awesome. Adolin's like, "All right, now that you've laid me bare about this, what else do you want me to share about my dirty secrets?" And he actually, like, Shallan starts asking about the chrysalises that they have that they get from plateau runs, because she really wants to like sketch the chasm fiends, mm-hmm. and sketch like the chrysalises without them being destroyed. Like, that's what she wants to do.
Because what is she thinking?
She's thinking that I think that maybe they might lead her to like Yirithiru.
No, what is she thinking? She's thinking that the great shells.
Did she say? I don't remember.
Yeah, basically, great shells from like similar great shells generally take a long time reproduce.
Yeah.
And so she's thinking that us killing 150 or whatever a year,
it's gonna kill them off.
It's gonna kill off the great shells. It seems like that's the way. And Adolin's not sure if he agrees or not with that, but still.
Yeah, but she wants to go on a plateau run so that she can like sketch these. She shows him some of her sketches and he's like, "This is amazing."
Yeah.
But she wants to go on a plateau run to kind of learn more about the chasm fiends and how many are left and, you know, what they look like and all this stuff. And she does manage to actually convince him to, like, you know, he's going to talk to Dalinar and see if she can bring him on a plateau run one day, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that's fun that she's going to try and, or Adolin's willing to try and get her to go with him on out onto the plains. And she also, I think, wants to go onto the plains because she wants to try and find Yirithiru. And that's the best way she can think to get out there, even to learn about them at all.
Yeah.
Is to do this and pretend that she really cares about the Chasm Fiends, though I don't really think she cares about them that much.
That's
funny. I think she's interested in them, but I don't think that's her main goal in this interaction.
Okay. That's a good theory. Theory man, write it down.
Yeah. Anyways, they continue just talking about they talk about the Parshendi a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. They talk about dueling, and Adolin tells her a little bit about like the fact that her father is having visions, or his father, sorry, is having visions, which the fact that he trusts her to tell her this is kind of awesome, I think. And very cute. This whole like chapter is
good. Have a cute time.
Yeah, they're just having a really good time. And Shallan's like, "Wait a minute, he's confiding in me."
Yeah,
like it's really good. He clearly seems to trust her, and I really appreciate that.
Then here comes the storm.
Yeah, and then the storm appears, and Shallan is like, they, you know, are gonna go and
she has
head
a
in.
Weird moment though.
Actually, though, real quick before that, she kind of brings up the fact that Yasna thought that the Parshmen were Voidbringers.
Right. She does tell Adolin.
She's like,
that.
"Hey, Adolin."
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And she lies and is like, "I'm not sure I believe that, but I wanted you to know because Yasna did."
Yeah.
And Adolin's like, "Okay. We'll, you know, look into this. I don't know how well you'd be able to ever convince the other high princes of this, but, you know, I'll keep this in mind." And he doesn't like immediately shut it down, but it's clear he's kind of wary about it.
He's not like, "Okay, I'll get rid of my parchment then," you know.
Yeah, but at least he's willing to listen, which is good. And yeah, now the storm comes and they're like, "All right, time to go in," and they stand there and watch it for a little bit.
But Shallan has a weird moment where she like feels the need to draw instead of going.
Yeah,
because like something's in there and I need to see it, and it's a weird moment.
Yeah, and literally Adolin has to drag her inside.
Yep.
And he's like, "What just happened? Earlier you were like, I don't want to be anywhere near this high storm, and now I had to like force you in before it came and killed you." And she's like, "6 seconds. I had 6 seconds before that storm wall hit." How she knows that is anybody's guess. But
I think she counted after the door hit. She went 1.
Oh,
2,
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah.
And he says, "I have no idea what to make of you. You're not like anyone I've met." And she says, It's my air of feminine mystique. Which okay, yeah. Shallan.
Okay, Shallan. But basically the chapter ends with them talking about, you know, how seeing Adolin's going to see if he can get her out into the Shattered Plains. And he says, I'll see you at the feast next week. And Shallan goes into this little, like, separate women's waiting area versus the men's area.
Yep.
They don't get to hang out together, which is boo.
Booby.
But she
you
disappointed
tried,
in you.
You just tried to not acknowledge me, and then you couldn't not acknowledge me. I heard it happen. You tried to talk over it, then got disappointed, went, ugh. Then tried to ignore it, then got disappointed even more, and went, ugh. That's funny.
But she goes into this room and she sees that all the other women there are like, ugh. Like,
yeah.
They don't like her because she is an outsider dating or trying to date Adolin and trying to be with Adolin. And they're not a fan of that because he's like the most eligible bachelor in all of Alethkar.
But she thinks
it seems that Adolin likes her anyways. And that's really all that matters.
And also,
she also doesn't care about what the other Alethi women think. Which, pop off Shallan!
If I'm going to tell them they need to get rid of their parchment, I need them to all know my name. So I'm okay with them hating me as long as they know my name.
Also, pop off Shallan for not caring about what anyone else thinks.
Yeah, Shallan.
Let's go.
You wonderful redheaded woman.
We love Shallan. Also, I love this chapter.
Yes.
This might be my favorite.
It is cute.
It's very much a me chapter. They're so cute together.
They are.
I love them so much. I hope they fall in love.
I want to break free.
No.
Are you ready to
I'm ready.
It's time.
I don't got any more theories.
I'm ready. I don't got no more theory. Okay, it's time to
rank the characters.
Woo!
All right,
Tay, are you ready to hear all the people we saw this week?
Who did we see this week?
We saw Pete, Zahel, Renarin, Sigzil, Tef, Lopin, Rock, Hoyd, Sil, Pattern, Adolin, Shallan, Kaladin, Ka, Polona, Sibario, Gaz, Vatha, Shen, Wickham, Balat, Aelita, Jushu, Haber, and Father Devar, Moash, Jake, and Nal, Ivis Graves, Revelar, Jix, Malise, Drahi, Rod, Rill, Punio, Pit, and Hoyo.
And the order we decided to put them in goes like this. Kaladin at the top, he's a very cool guy. Shallan, she's in love, it's awesome. With Adolin, who's up here too, followed by the two Spren, Pattern and Silfreda, we love them both. Hoyd's here too, who's kind of a god, he's a cool guy. Very helpful to Shallan in the past, and also just a funny man.
Yep.
Then Rock, who's funny, Lopin, who's funny, Teft is cool, Sigzil is weird, but we love him. Renarin, autistic, but we love him. He's probably not autistic, but he's strange.
he's got seizures, remember?
Yeah, he's got seizures. Zahael, who trains them. Pete, who's in love with Ka, who's also here. Polona, because she's sweet and in love with Sabara, who's also here. Then there's
we really just paired up all the couples
this
week.
Any couple got paired, yeah. Then there's Gaz, Vatha, Shen, because they're cool. Then we're into like the almost neutral. Wickham, Balat, and Aelita, and Jushu.
See, we really did pair up. Every single couple is paired.
Right. Aelita and Balat are side by side. Yeah, you're right. Then here's the names that we saw that we don't really have strong feelings towards. Haber, Huyo, Pit, Punyo, Rill, Rod, Drahi, Malise, Jix, Brightlord, Revelar. And now we're in the people who we kind of dislike. Graves, Ivis, Nal, and Yake.
I don't even remember who Ivis is. I'm not sure we dislike Ivis. I think Ivis is
the dark-eyed man with Graves, I think.
You know who we forgot?
Who?
We didn't put Danlan on this list.
Oh, Danlan. Okay, she goes right below Ivis.
Okay.
Danlan is right below Ivis, if you're wondering.
I totally forgot about her.
Me too. So if you're wondering, that's where she goes. Then in Moash is at the bottom of our living tier because he puts his whole team in a terrible position.
Yeah.
Then in Wish You Were Dead, we have Father Devar.
Where he belongs.
Top five, bottom five. Last week?
Last week, our top five was Shallan, Kaladin, Dalinar, Pattern, and Polona. And our bottom five was Mraes, Iali, Father Devar, Amaram, and Sidious.
Not much change this week. Top five stayed the same, except Polona got kicked off by Adolin, making, weirdly enough, his first appearance on positive or negative for this book.
Which is really odd.
And then bottom five, Mraes got replaced with Moash, not because we want him dead or anything, but because he's putting his whole team in like a really bad position.
Yeah.
And we hate that for him.
And also, revenge is not the way to go.
Yes.
Although Kaladin wants revenge and we love him.
Forgive and forget.
Kaladin's too cool for that. Also, he hasn't acted on it.
Yes.
Moash has acted on
it. Yes. Iali has stayed in the same place. Amaram and Sadeus both went down one for the first time in the book.
Up one?
Like, they've become less bad by one. Because Father Devar has become our least favorite character in this book.
As he should be. Okay? I stand by this very strongly. I hate Sadeus with every bone in my body. But right now, Sadeus has not done that much in recent memory.
Yeah.
And Father Devar has, and so I hate him with every other bone in my body.
Every remaining bone.
Which is none of them, because I said I hated Sadeus with every bone in my body. So.
Weird, but fire.
You get my point.
Alrighty. Thank you all, listeners, for listening. We really, really appreciate you being here and hanging out with us for this hour and a half of thrilling content.
Woo!
Thank you also to Alesia for letting us use his song Windrunner Remake as the intro and outro of this program. Thank you, Alesia. Sydney, what are we reading this week?
Next week, we are reading chapters 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, and 56.
Make sure
so 50 through 56.
Make sure you have those read, or Sydney will come and beat up your mother and then blame you for it.
Also, it wasn't.
Yes, but most people don't have a housemaid, Sydney.
Okay.
Why do people have mothers? Not many have housemaids. Some people don't have a She'll beat up an important woman in your life and then blame you for it. Like, beat up to the point of bleeding and broken bones. Like, she'll destroy them. And then it'll be your fault and you'll feel guilty.
This might be one of the most brutal ones.
I mean, I've
so far, this might be one of the most brutal.
Weirdly enough, that feels worse than just kill you. I've threatened to kill you before.
This might be one of the most brutal ones because that is honestly worse.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. Listener.
Yeah. We love you.
Yeah. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate it. Thank you for listening. I'm Colton Pratt.
And I'm Sydney Lyerly.
I love you.
Peace.
Why are you still here? The show's over.